Father, we bless you for your word. Lord, we thank you that it's there to help us, and to show us the way to live and to walk, to reveal you to us, Lord, that we may know you and love you better. And I pray, Lord, for us all here as we share tonight, Lord, that we will see you in more of your glory. Yeah. Lord, to love you more, to worship you, the only one, the true and perfect living Lord. So we just ask your blessing, Lord, and your Holy Spirit's help, that we may draw near to you, Heavenly Father, through Jesus your Son. Well, I want to, but before we begin, you know why John wrote his Gospel? You know, don't you? We've done this already. You know why John wrote his Gospel? Because he wanted people to come to know Jesus. That's the primary reason. Then the second reason was, he was adding in bits that the other Gospel writers hadn't included. So he fills out the picture, okay? So you get a bigger view of quite what was going on. Mm-hmm. So, I want tonight to start in Matthew 26, because there's a little bit there that we see, and then John adds his details, which we'll get to in chapter 12. And it's Matthew 26, it's the anointing at Bethany. It's chapter 12, 26, verse 6. Yeah? Well, actually, I want to read a few verses before that. Chapter 26, starting at verse 1. Right. When Jesus had finished all these things, he said to his disciples, "As you know, the Passover is 2 days away, and the Son of Man will be handed over to be crucified. Then the chief priests and the elders of the people assembled in the place in the palace of the high priest, whose name was Caiaphas, and they plotted to arrest Jesus in some sly way and kill him. But not during the feast, they said, or there may be a riot among the people." So Matthew's telling us what happened 2 days before the feast of Passover, when Jesus is going to die. And right up to 2 days before the feast, they had planned that Jesus wasn't going to be crucified then. Yeah, they didn't want any problems. And it would just be too risky to get Jesus crucified during the Passover feast. Too many people on his side is what they'd be thinking, you see. So that's what Matthew tells us. Then he backtracks for a few days, because Bethany is where the things started hotting up. So it's verse 6 now, okay? Now what I'm saying is, it's not 2 days before, while this happens, it's, as we'll see in John's Gospel, it's 6 days before. But he's backtracking just to tell you why it all got to a head. So, while Jesus was at Bethany in the home of a man known as Simon the leper, a woman came to him with an alabaster jar of very expensive perfume, which she poured on his head as he was reclining at the table. When the disciples saw this, they were indignant. "Why this waste?" they asked. "This perfume could have been sold at a high price, and the money given to the poor." Aware of this, Jesus said to them, "Why are you bothering this woman? She's done a beautiful thing to me. The poor you will always have with you, but you will not always have me. When she poured this perfume on my body, she did it to prepare me for burial. I tell you the truth, wherever this gospel is preached throughout the world, what she has done will be told in memory of her." Right. So what we learn from this little passage in Matthew is it all happened in Bethany, which is in over the other side of the Mount of Olives. It's the place where Jesus went every night. That was his sort of resting place during the day, during the night, yeah? And it's at the home of a chap called Simon the leper. Now, he's called Simon the leper. Was he a leper?
No.
So why is he called Simon the leper? Because he used to be, right? And he obviously thinks it's a great name to have. Yeah. "Hello, I'm Simon the leper." As you can see, he isn't, which is a perfect start for saying, "Do you know how I'm not a leper now?" That's Jesus. Yeah. All right, okay. So that's when it happens. And we're told that the disciples get a bit miffed about this woman coming in and pouring the ointment over Jesus' head, as we're told here. Right, so now let's go to John's Gospel and just show you how John fills this out for us. So it's John chapter 12. Right, and this is giving us the timetable, right? So, 6 days before the Passover, so we're getting towards Friday night, Saturday and all that, so the Sabbath and so on, yeah? 6 days before Easter, what we call Easter, 6 days before the Passover, Jesus arrived at Bethany. Yes, now Jesus was down the road, probably at Jericho. You remember the blind Bartimaeus was healed there, and they're all trooping up to Jerusalem. That's what's going on. Anyway, he arrives at Bethany before the Passover time, yes? They arrived at Bethany where Lazarus lived, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. So we've heard about Lazarus, haven't we? He was the guy who died and raised from the dead. Here a dinner was given in Jesus' honour. So where was the dinner being served?
Martha's
house. No, it wasn't at Martha's house. It was at Simon the leper's house.
Oh,
yes. Simon the leper was celebrating. Why?
He'd been healed.
And Martha and Mary are celebrating because Lazarus has been raised from the dead. So it's party time. Yeah, so they're celebrating what Jesus has done, right? But Martha's on the job. Martha served while Lazarus was among those reclining at the table with him. You notice on this occasion, Martha isn't complaining about serving.
Yeah.
She served, she's glad, because Jesus has raised her brother. Mm-hmm. She's got a family back, yeah? So she's happy to do the dishes, yeah? And all the stuff. Do you think it'd be a good meal?
Yeah.
I'll bet it was, yes, right. So, Martha serves while Lazarus was among those reclining at the table with him. So there's Lazarus as large as life. Yes. Right. Reclining at the table. How did they recline at the table? They laid
down.
They laid down, long out, arm down on the flat. That's your resting bit, yeah? And you dip in with your hand. Right, okay. So they're stretched out. There's a table in the middle and they're stretched feet out around the table. Okay, it's like spokes of a wheel.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. That's the scene. Right. We got it. So now then, who would be reclining at the table? By the way, the men. He would be the men. Often it was the men who ate together, and the ladies had their bits and stuff in another place. You know, it was sort of semi-segregated, I suppose. Yes. So it's all the lads. They're all there. The disciples and this chap and Simon and so on. And it says then Mary took about a pint of pure nard, an expensive perfume, and poured it on Jesus' feet and wiped his feet with her hair. So that's totally shocking. Yeah? This lady comes into the room. We know who she is now, don't we?
Yeah, yeah.
We've got a name.
Yeah.
Matthew didn't tell us, but we know it's Mary.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's Mary. Mary, Lazarus' sister. Yeah, because there are lots of Marys. Yeah?
Yeah.
This is Mary, Lazarus' sister, and she comes into the room, and it says, and we were told it was an alabaster jar. That's an you know how the perfume industry go in for these very expensive jars. Well, alabaster jars were expensive items, and we're told that the perfume was about a pint. Well, that's our translation here. Quite a large quantity of pure nard. Now, what's pure nard?
Is that perfume?
It's perfume. It's a type of ointment perfume. Yeah. And it comes from the Himalayas.
Yeah.
The foothills of the Himalayas. And she's got a large quantity of this. You can imagine this was seriously expensive material.
So she was rich then?
Well, probably, yes. So she's got this rather expensive bottle of perfume, let's call it that, eh? And she broke it. What does it mean when she broke it?
She broke the seal.
No. She didn't break the seal, she snapped the head off.
Why,
what does that mean?
She's going to use it all.
Right? This isn't a little drop and then put it back the bottle on and put it in the shelf again, you know.
No.
This is poured out the lot.
Mm-hmm.
Yes? Right? Okay? So, expensive perfume. All the gospel writers make a note of it was expensive.
Mm-hmm.
Very precious or whatever.
Yeah.
Yes? Yeah? And she poured it on Jesus' feet. Well, Matthew said she poured it on Jesus' head.
Mm-hmm.
Right? What does that mean?
She
poured it all over him. Mm-hmm. She started at the top and went towards his feet.
Yeah.
Right? And there's enough. A pint of pure perfume is more than enough, isn't that right? Yeah? Okay, so she pours a lot out on Jesus. And shock of shocks, what does she do? She lets down her hair, literally. She lets down her hair. Well, they normally covered their hair to some degree, I guess, didn't they?
Yeah.
In company, anyway.
It wasn't clean to actually have your hair down.
It wasn't acceptable, was it? No. And so she goes against all the rules, gets down, kneels down, because Jesus' feet are sticking out in the back, yeah, right? And she, because there's so much perfume on his feet. Yeah, she wipes it off with her hair. Right, so it's all on her as well, as of course. Yeah, right. And it says, the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. It would be, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
And the interesting thing is, as Matthew says, wherever this story is told, it will be told in honour of her. Whenever the gospel's told. The fragrance is still spreading, isn't it?
Yeah, and I think the story will be heard.
Yes, yeah. Now then, why did she do it? This is the question. Before we look at the grumps and the complainers, why did she do it?
Well, they said to prepare everyone for everything.
Well, that's how Jesus shows them what he's about. But why did she do it? It was out of gratitude. It was out of love. And the thing that this is, I offer this as a challenge for us Brits. You know, some of us are Brits. Yeah? Right? And Brits don't show their feelings, do they, very much, you know? Right? This woman's love is exuberant. It's over the top. That's what the disciples say. This is over the top stuff. Yeah? If you can't get over the top in love for Jesus, there's something wrong. That's all that, what we're trying to say here. Mm-hmm. She is just so... She couldn't care less what they think.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? She's just pouring out her gratitude, her love, her worship to Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? Yeah. And do you think Jesus loved it?
Yeah.
Oh yes. Right. Of course, other people, when they see you being exuberant about Jesus and pouring out your love for him, they'll think, what a waste.
Yeah.
Stupid.
Yeah.
Yeah. So here we get it. This is but we were told it was the disciples that grumped.
Yeah.
Well, it was, but it didn't quite work out like to start with. So John tells us what was going on, right? So but one of his disciples,
Judas
Iscariot. Okay. So we know who the guy was who started it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Judas Iscariot, who was later to betray him, well, John's making sure you know the right guy, yeah. Right?
Okay.
He objected. Right? What did he object to? He considered it waste, but I think he was embarrassed as well. He thought, this is ridiculous.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, tough. Yeah. Anyway, let's see. It says, why wasn't this perfume sold and the money given to the poor?
Oh.
Isn't that, you know, parsimonious? Is that the right word? They sound so spiritual.
Yeah.
Sound so wonderful.
Yeah.
We could have sold and given it to the poor. Yeah? He couldn't care less about the poor.
No.
Got nothing to do with the poor. It's like interesting how people can use religion to cover up their dirty tricks.
Yeah.
And that's what's going on, yeah?
Yeah?
Because we're told, it says, yeah, it, come on, before that, it was worth a year's wages. So you can compute that in any time, any language. A year's wages is a lot of money.
Yeah.
Right? What's the average wage these days? Not that we get it, of course.
16,000 to 20,000.
How much?
16,000 to 20,000.
Is it 20,000? 20,000.
16,000 to 20,000.
Right, so, worth a year's wages. So, 20,000 quid's worth of perfume has just been poured on Jesus.
He's worth it.
He's worth it. Exactly. Right? And she's never going to get the chance. Maybe she did have an inkling, because Jesus was he'd been talking about his death coming up. Maybe she did have an inkling. This was the only chance she's going to get to just to express her love for Jesus.
Well, she must have had a bit of prophecy.
Inside, something like
that. Because, like you said, to let down her hair was against the...
Yeah, she's gone against all the rules, yeah.
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 So, Dennis, what occurred to me was, I wasn't here last week, so Lucy gave me a cross-drive for me. Now, Lazarus had died, so she most assuredly spent time with the Lord and listening to him and absorbing the love.
Yeah.
Because he died, and yet, I know he wasn't to stay dead, but he came out stinking.
I don't think he came out stinking, Joe.
Well, it says when he came out of the grave after 4.
They said before he was raised from the dead, he was stinking.
Yes.
When they opened the tomb, the smell was there.
It doesn't say anywhere that he was. You know, it could have been tradition, but she used it on Jesus. You know, this terrific person. I mean, that to me, when meditating on it, that meant a terrific. Like her, the way her emphasis was on her Lord, and
yes.
you know, the way the meaning that he meant to her by that.
Of course, yes, well, that's what we're at, yes.
Yeah.
Yes, but back to Lazarus for a moment.
Yeah.
I'm sure he was decaying, that was the point
that's
Jesus
what
made.
He says
after
yeah.
4 days, yeah. he's seriously yeah. dead.
What I mean.
Right. But when Jesus says, Lazarus, come out,
okay.
yes.
Okay.
he came out healthy.
Right,
yeah.
Yeah.
yeah. Anyway, that's another thing. Yes, so this is a different kind of perfume. Right, right, okay. So, a year's wages. Yeah, now then, John tells us what Judas's real motive was. Because we told in verse 6, he did not say this because he cared about the poor, but he was a thief. As keeper of the money bag, he's the treasurer. It's fortunate Adrian's not here tonight, obviously, yes. As keeper of the money bag, he used to help himself to what was put into it. How many treasurers have done that, I wonder, over the years? I bet there's been a few, right? Then he probably didn't take lots, he just took small amounts, you know, but enough to keep him going, yeah? Why did he do that? Why did he do that? He wasn't a sincere disciple. He's certainly gone off the boil, hasn't he? If he started out sincere, he certainly left that a long time ago.
Yeah.
Right? And now he's in it for what he can get out, because he just thinks it's not going to be any good.
Yeah.
So, I might as well get something out of this.
Love of money.
Well, love of money is not good.
Yeah.
Well, that's sad. Yeah, so,
well,
anyway.
I think he saw the money coming in his throat as well, so he thought, they won't miss it if I take it.
You think so? I mean, Jesus was maintained by the disciples, by the ladies quite often,
that's
wasn't
right.
it? Yeah?
Yeah.
And the disciples were provided for, but I can't imagine they were rolling in it. But when he sees a year's wages going down the drain,
yeah.
as far as he's concerned, he's thinking, ooh, that's a lot of dosh I could have helped myself
yeah.
to.
Yeah.
So, that's why he's upset. Right? And we're told by Matthew and the others that when Judas started, the others joined in.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, not very good lead, was it? Yeah.
Not the disciples.
The disciples?
What,
the were at the table, yes.
Yeah. What, helped themselves to the money?
No.
They were
spiritual. Whoa, yeah. We could have got that for the
money,
poor.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I'll give them credit, they were probably thinking more about the poor than the money, but, you know, they're still having a go with her for being extravagant. Yeah? Well, she's got one defender, that's enough, when you've got the right one.
Yeah.
Leave her alone, Jesus replied. It was intended that she should save this perfume for the day of my burial. You will always have the poor among you, but you will not always have me. So... Yeah, and one of the gods, he says, you can help them any time you want, but now is the moment when you can do something for me, and she's done it. Yeah.
I told her, and he turned around and said, well, he shouldn't have said it.
Well, it's a fact. Why will we always have the poor among us?
You'll always have poor in spirit.
Right, doesn't mean poor in spirit, he's talking about poor in... Well, poor in spirit as well, of course.
Yeah.
Sorry?
People aren't very good at... Money,
people aren't very good stewards, yeah. Life has a way of doing some nasty turns on people as well. I'm not saying it's always deliberate. I mean, some people can finish up homeless through no fault of their own. So, you know, the things happen. That's a good phrase. Things happen for one reason or another, whether it's self-inflicted or what, but the poor are around. Yeah?
And other people are not generous.
And other people are not generous, yeah. Now, contrast that. Contrast that with, if you read in Acts, in the early chapters when the church began, he says there was no needy person among them, for every need was met, because the disciples gave to the apostles and it was distributed to help people out. Yes, but they were needy people, otherwise they wouldn't have had needs to be met, would they? But, you know, Christians were meant to be a bit more kind and caring to one another.
But it takes some poor people, no matter how much you give, they're still going to be poor.
Still poor, yeah, yes. Not very good money management.
Now, about greed this morning.
Yes,
yes.
So, just to put in another few verses that some of the other gospel writers add to this, Jesus says in this chapter, leave her alone.
Yeah.
Now, there's another lovely phrase that some of the, I don't know which gospel it is, but it's in one of the gospels. It says, she did what she could.
Yeah.
Isn't that a great line,
yeah.
eh? Yeah. You're complaining about what people do and everything else. She did what she could, and that was good enough.
Yeah.
Yeah, praise the Lord. So, yeah, if they complain about what you're doing, if you do what you can,
matters.
That's what matters, yeah.
Okay, so, Jesus says, leave her alone. Yes, and then, so that, what was the effect of that? The other Gospels tell us. The effect of that was Judas got really upset, mm-hmm. and he decided after this, that's it. When I get the chance, we're going to turn him over.
No. Yeah.
So that was the thing that swung it, as far as Judas was concerned. But we're going to look at how the Pharisees reacted, because this is what John's looking at, yeah? So, meanwhile, a large crowd of Jews found out that Jesus was there and came. Right, so, Jesus has arrived at Bethany. Words, because there were people travelling to Jerusalem for the Passover, you know, it was a big celebration time. Some knew that Jesus was on his way. They get to Jerusalem. They tell the people in Jerusalem, hey, Jesus is coming. Right, so there's a crowd of people in Jerusalem come out after the Sabbath, probably on the Sunday, yeah, come out to find Jesus. Right, so this is the crowd we're going to meet here. Right, so there's a crowd of people with Jesus and a crowd of people coming to see Jesus. Yeah. Meanwhile, a large crowd of Jews found out that Jesus was there and came, not only because of him, but also to see Lazarus, whom he'd raised from the dead. Yes, I mean,
he's still alive.
Word must have got around. Hey, have you heard about Lazarus? So they're there going out to see this Lazarus as well. Yeah. Must have been strange being a bit of a sort of funny celebrity, isn't it?
Yeah. One of the priests would have been at the burial as well,
I presume. Well, can't have been, I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, here we go. Right, so. Yes. So, verse 10. So the chief priests made plans to kill Lazarus as well. For on account of him, many of the Jews were going over to Jesus and putting their faith in him.
Isn't that amazing? I think they could kill him and stay dead. I mean, our point is he was raised.
He was raised from the dead, but poor old... I said this before, I do feel sorry for Lazarus. Mm. He's going to die twice, this chap.
Yeah,
I'm not good.
That in my head, I'll say that.
Yeah, but I must say this, I suspect Lazarus never looked at death the same as he did before.
No, I think he wanted to come back.
Yeah, he thought, I know where I'm going.
I'm happy to die.
Yeah. So anyway, they plot to kill Lazarus. Why? Because he's bad news as far as they're concerned. He's just a really good advert for Jesus, and his power, and his glory, and his messiahship. So they don't want Lazarus around.
It's so. Like you said about the angels this morning, even though they blinded the crowd was still looking for the door.
Yeah, yeah, nasty lot, aren't they, these Pharisees? I mean, would you be celebrating if someone's been raised from the dead like that?
Yeah,
wow. You would, you wouldn't need to get to know that. But no, they feel threatened.
Mm-hmm.
It's their little kingdom that Jesus is upsetting. They plan to have Lazarus got rid of as well. Because many of the Jews were going over to Jesus and putting their faith in him. So what kind of faith were they putting in Jesus? They believed he's the Messiah.
Mm-hmm.
Now, how good an idea of Messiah is, that's part of the problem, yeah? Because in a few days' time, they're going to say crucify him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? So Jesus wasn't quite the Messiah that they were expecting, that's the problem. But they're getting keen on him, definitely, which is good.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Okay, so here we go, on to the next bit. The next day, the great crowd that had come for the feast heard that Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. They took palm branches and went out to meet him. Right, so the crowd have come now outside, ready to receive Jesus to come into the city. He's coming to the city. And it says, they started shouting, Hosanna!
Praise the Lord.
Yes, well, Hosanna doesn't mean praise the Lord. Hallelujah means praise the Lord. Hosanna is a form of... praise, it's praise, but it means save.
Oh.
In other words, they're saying, do it, now! That's what it means. They're really asking Jesus to thrash the Romans and things like that. That's part of the idea.
All
yeah,
right.
Yeah, like save. And then they say, blessed is, this all quotes from one of the Psalms, by the way. It's Psalm 118, it's a really messianic psalm. But anyway, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Yeah, now then, Andy's going to tell us what it says in Hebrew, because you learned this, didn't you?
What was that?
Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.
Ah, that's right. Yeah, I wrote
it down. Got it down.
Baruch haba b'shem Adonai.
Oh, well, no. Yes, you got it. It is a messianic celebration. Yeah? They're saying, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. He's Messiah. That's what they're claiming. Yes? Right, so. That's what they're saying. They're expecting, they're recognizing that Jesus is coming as the Messiah. Yeah? And this is the time when Jesus does come and claim as the Messiah to be the king. Yeah? So it says, blessed be the king of Israel. Right, now, what's the problem with that? Their idea of king of Israel is like David, the king of Israel, to thrash his enemies.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's not going to be like that, because we read the next line. Jesus found a young donkey and sat upon it. Mm-hmm. Now, there you go. You can read in the other Gospels how he got hold of the donkey.
Yeah.
It was an arrangement with somebody who had the donkey and his parents. Mm-hmm. Yeah. The disciples went to the village ahead, and there there was the donkey tied up. Jesus says, take it, and if anybody asks you, just tell them the Lord needs it, he'll bring it back when he's finished. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And they let it go. Yeah, so Jesus has arranged that. Yeah, so he gets the donkey, and this is fulfillment of the prophecy. It says he sat down upon it, as it is written, do not be afraid, O daughter of Zion, see, your king is coming, seated on a donkey's colt. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Now then, just have a look at this little verse. What does daughter of Zion mean?
It's fine.
No.
Jerusalem.
It's another word for Jerusalem. Yeah. Yeah. It's it turns up as daughter of Zion is a word for Jerusalem. So Jerusalem, see, your king is coming, seated on a donkey's colt. Right. What's the significance of Jesus riding in on a donkey?
Humble,
isn't it? Yeah. He's not coming to destroy
you. It's not a war horse. He's coming on an animal that's used for peace and for agriculture and labour and so on. Yeah? Yeah. So he's making it perfectly clear he's the Messiah of peace.
Yeah.
Now that will cause a few problems,
yeah,
as we know as the week goes by, but that's what Jesus is making it perfectly obvious. He is this kind of Messiah. Not one that's a military, political one. Yeah, he's coming to save, in other words, right? And so John explains this in verse 16. At first, his disciples did not understand all this. Only after Jesus was glorified did they realize that these things had been written about him and that they had done these things to him. So John is making it quite clear that the disciples hadn't really much of an idea of what was going on. They're caught up in the whole thing that's happening, you know, people waving their palm branches, they're all shouting out, hallelujah, praise the Lord, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, all of those things, and the disciples are all in this melee of what's going on, but they don't realise what it was all about.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus is making himself, offering himself as Messiah for the people. Yeah, that's one of the things. So Jesus, at this point, is making it clear he is the Messiah. Right. What's that going to do?
Upset the Pharisees.
Anyway. It will upset the authorities, right? And why does Jesus want to upset the authorities?
He's fulfilling
the authorities. He doesn't, but... Well, he does on this occasion, I'd suggest. Because, remember what they planned with their watches?
Mm-hmm.
We want to get rid of him, but not during the feast, because that would be too much of a problem. Well, Jesus knows he's going to die during the feast. It's in the plan.
Yeah.
Right? So what he does is he's taking control of events in order to make it work out the way it's meant to.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they can make all the noise and all the plans they like, but the Lord's in charge.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, let's have a look what happens next then. Right, so. Now the crowd that was with him when he called Lazarus from the tomb and raised him from the dead continued to spread the word. Yeah. So there's two crowds. There's the crowd that's coming out of the city and the crowds that are with Jesus as they're travelling to the city. Right? They obviously meet up. They're all good friends by the looks of it. Yeah. So they spread the word around. Many people, because they had heard that he had given this miraculous sign, went out to meet him. And so the Pharisees said to one another, see, this is getting us nowhere. Look how the whole world has gone after him. Right, now that's a bit of an exaggeration.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, but as far as they're concerned, it might as well have been the whole world.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, what are the Pharisees doing? They're frustrated, they're angry, they're upset. In other words, Jesus has just prodded them into action. See? So, king's in charge, after all. that he's a different sort of king. So, there you are, two little beautiful stories of what's happening these last few days leading up to Jesus' death. This exuberant love. Got to be good, eh? Mm-hmm. Right? And then this nasty reaction from the authorities.
Yeah.
God, that's the world you live in.
Yes.
Yeah? You can experience the joy and the blessing of the Lord, and you get some nasty so-and-sos around as well.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
He's going to sort it out one day.
He's still saying, you're not killing me till I say.
Exactly.
Yeah.
He's in charge. Yes. He is definitely in charge. Which is wonderful, yeah. This is our Jesus, yeah. He's good, eh? So we'll leave it at that, dear friends. Where do we get to next time? Jesus predicts his death. Well, he's been doing that a few times, but the important thing about the next one is the Jews reject Jesus, but the Greeks start coming to him. Yeah, it's the beginning of almost a prophecy of what's going to happen with the gospel.
Gentiles.
Yeah, the Gentiles are coming in. Yeah. Anyway, that's another time. We'll leave that, isn't it? Okay, let's just pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the complementary nature of the different gospel accounts, Lord, that together we can piece this story together. The amazing things that happened in the time that you were in this world. Lord, we want to say thank you for Mary, for her deep love for you. Lord, help us to know something of that, Lord, and not to get too het up about other people's and their criticism, Lord, when we just express our love for you. Lord, we pray for your mercies for those that don't get it, they don't realise how wonderful you are and the good things you do. And Lord, we praise you, Lord, that you are the Messiah, the one that has come, and Lord, the one who's coming again.